Hey guys, it's Gary Upton. We're doing a quick podcast here. Me and Blake Hinson. Look him up if you don't know who he is. What do you do, Blake?
Oh yeah, I mean, basically, I'm assistant principal based in the New York Philharmonic, and I play a lot in the New York area. And I guess we're kind of just talking about
bass strings
and expectations for different mindsets.
We got into C extensions, and the thing I wanted to capture you saying is.
Yeah.
And I could burn this all down if you don't like it.
No,
but I wanted to capture you saying a bass isn't complete.
Yeah, so in terms of an orchestral player, I feel like a bass is not complete unless it has an extension or you're playing on a five string. That's another option that basically would allow you to access all the notes. The point that I have, or the problem that I have, is that we have players that oftentimes will show up and they'll play things up the octave, and that was not the intention of the composer. The composer had every option at their disposal, and they chose to write those notes down the octave.
Yeah, those are their colors.
So for me, when a bass player plays a note up the octave instead of playing a note on an extension or something like that, I think of it as akin to as if a violinist showed up to an audition and they said, "Well, I'm not going to play any of the notes on the bottom G string, you know, but I promise I'll play them up the octave and they'll sound really good. In fact, they'll sound better."
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, but that's not what we're charged with. And so my mindset
is Beethoven messed up clearly, and I'm going to put them up.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like there's so many mindsets that one can have on this stuff. And the truth is that if you don't have an extension, you don't have an extension, you know, and you go and you play the best you can in any scenario. But in terms of what I'm doing on the daily, I know. So Gary, you made me the dress rehearsal copy of the Santa Giuliana bass that's sitting right in front of us right now. And I remember I played that for about 2 weeks on the gig, and I made sure that the weeks we were playing, we didn't have any extension notes because it didn't have an extension on it.
Okay.
And then the moment that we started having extension notes, I just said, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I want that bass was great. Still is great. I don't own it anymore, but it's still great. But the thing is, it's like I knew that I was doing a disservice to my gig, to my orchestra.
Oh, that was the hybrid.
Yeah, that was the hybrid. The hybrid. Yeah, yeah,
it's
the hybrid
out in Michigan or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
gotcha.
So anyway, the point is that my stance is that if you can't play the low notes, then it's not complete.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting exactly what the composer asked for.
And I get that. I just thought it was cool to hear you say it quite succinctly like that. That, you know, yeah, I guess if you showed up at the piano and you said, "Sorry, I don't have anything below middle C," they're going to... I'll just put it all up an octave.
Yeah, we assign qualities to keys. My favorite, because we probably talked to a lot of bass players here. Einheldleben, Hero's Life. It's written in E flat. E flat is deemed the hero's key. You hear Beethoven's Third Symphony, also written in E flat. These keys have a specific quality. Range has a specific quality. When you're another great Janacek was known for writing in complex keys, you know. But D flat sounds different than E flat in terms of the tonality and the tone place you go. And so the same thing is true for range, you know.
Well, is it not a composer's job to understand every instrument that they're writing for, the strong points of all of those instruments, then to write the key of the tune in wherever they choose to have sweet, gentle voices or big, robust voices. And then we have people saying, "Oh, let's shift it to
change their orchestration."
Yeah,
you know, like and I mean it's part of the concern that I have when I make a transcription. When I'm making a transcription, I'm thinking to myself, what was the composer's intention by putting it in this key? Because as bass players, we're very prone to putting things in G and D and A, just because it works well with the instrument.
Well, I only play in G.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not, most people do.
It would seem
that way, that a lot of people love playing
the
G.
The only it's way great. I would change it is to change the tuning of my
Yeah,
bass.
Just hike it up a half step, and now I'm in A flat. Oh, great! Oh, yeah, lovely.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I just, I don't know. It matters to me. You know, the sound that the composer intended for you to reach. And I think that however we get to that is important.
Last thing before we run off of our little 5-minute rant here, we were talking about two different sets of strings. I put three fingers up. Two different sets of strings. You were saying, And I have for a long time had my Gary's Blended set for my jazz guys. It's just spiracore, obbligato, obbligato. You can't really tell the difference. It gets rid of the ping on the G string. Yeah. And you're saying, essentially, you have Blake Hinson's beef set. It's a...
Yeah.
It's a... Go ahead.
Yeah, so on my Galliano bass, which I've had copied now, I basically... top bottom, I go G string bel canto, D string bel canto, A string original flexichord, and E string permanent extended E string, or potentially a middle gauge spiracore, depending upon the season and how the bass is acting. Because if the bass is acting really dark, I need something to cut. If it's acting really bright, I need something to temper that.
And then this is where the whole conversation and I hit the record button stemmed from. Because I said the question, well, like, obviously not with a regular E string, and that was the point. Blake had said, hey, it's not a bass in our setting if it doesn't have an extension.
Totally. So, I mean, I you know, but if one is playing on just a standard E string and you don't have an extension, same rule they're basically going to apply. I mean, this is when I joined the Philharmonic, I remember thinking, okay, I have a really good job that I'm content to kind of explore more of my inner musician. And so one of the things that I wanted to explore first was, do I really have my sound? Do I really find, like, have I found the sound that kind of is most kindred to me? And so actually I started buying strings. I bought tons of strings. And the real takeaway that I had was, it's not just an example, you know, one string is not going to be a do-all, fix-all, do it all for you. But what they do represent is they have tensions. And when a good set of strings is going to represent a set of complementary tensions, where you're going to have enough tension on this string and enough freedom on another string where you can easily feel comfortable, getting the breadth of expression out of your instrument. And so strings matter. And that's kind of what I came to for my instrument.
It's interesting for me that all of us seem to be doing either a flop of a Tomastic up top and a Prostro on the bottom, or a Prostro's up top and Tomastic's at the bottom.
Hey, you know.
So we've got your beef set that you just explained. Yeah. Do you have a fun pen name for the other set, or is this your solo?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, so my solo set, it's heavily influenced by one of my teachers, Edgar Meyer. He does a Prostro permanent on top, on the A string, Prostro permanent on the D string, and then a spiracore B string, solo string, and then I have an extension on my solo instrument, mm-hmm. and I actually do the drop tuning, and so I actually just keep a spiracore orchestral C on my solo instrument. So I always have that fifth
orchestral
on the
C being your extended string.
Yeah, so I always have a fifth on the bottom,
and that's a middle.
That's the middle gauge.
That's technically S44 is the name of the string from Spiracore.
Sure.
Because we get a little mixed up on that sometimes.
Gotcha, yeah.
People call me too and they're like, 3085s, and what's this extended E from that? And so I'm trying to let people know too, it's the S44 is the medium gauge Spiracore E that happens to be a C string when it is extended.
Sure. And the heavy gauge Spiracores, they're pretty hard on the hands for long games. So if you start with middle gauge for everyone out there, if you're exploring and you're curious, start with the middle gauge. Find how that treats you. If you need more tension, if you need a thicker string, sure. Most people won't. Most people won't desire that. But I mean, you could go and get a dominant string. That's one of the most you can practically poke a button from across the room with one of those. They're very, very tense.
Yeah.
But specific bass. If you have a really loosey-goosey bass, a high tension set of strings might be the complementary set that just makes it pop.
You need to figure out your tension.
Yeah.
So your Santa has your Upton Santa has, which you now have. You don't have the other one, but this has what I'm looking at: a Spiracore E, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is again, guys, that's an extended E. It's a C string, and a bel canto A, the bel canto G. This currently has a super flexible on the G
because
you're playing for a little extra zing.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, like, this is the super flexible is not a super popular string. Most people don't even know what it is. Mm-hmm. They look at my bass and they see this baby blue thing and they say,
I was just about to say baby blue. It's a baby blue string.
It's a baby blue string, and like everyone looks at it and they say,
I think they're underrated.
I think so too.
You've got to play them in.
I think what it is that there's a space between bel canto and spiracore that exists that I think everyone is. I mean, bel canto, they're coming out with a new bel canto set, I think, at some point in time. I haven't seen them personally, but I know that it's in the words.
Well, it's not confusing.
But the point is that my stance is that we already kind of have that string.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that this one is more akin to a spiral chord than it is a bel canto, but it's between that perspective. So it's, I would say it's 65% spiro and then complementary 35%. Bel canto.
And then reviewing again one last time, the Galeanos, your Galeano and the Upton copy of the Galeano, both of those, your basses, not that we're playing another one here, they have, run me the strings one more time?
Yeah, so top down, G, bel canto, D, bel canto, A, bel canto, or original flex. Right now I have a bel canto on there, but the original flex is a great string for beef, and then extended string, right now it's a perastro permanent, but it could be a spiral core extended E string.
All right, so we're gonna put it up on the website. We're gonna have a beef set by Blake Hinson. We'll give you the softer sizzle and the hotter sizzle. We'll offer it a few different ways.
Yeah, love it.
All right, cool. Thanks for letting me record our fun bass dork hang string talk. It's kind of what I do all day with everybody.
It's what I do too, man.
I figured we'd show somebody what we do.
Yeah, dude.
Thanks, dude.
All right.
Someone called right at the end, that would have shut it off.
Oh, perfect.